Praise the Lord. Well, I trust the word will be a blessing to you tonight and that it will minister to your hearts. Perhaps the Holy Spirit will be able to give voice to some of the things that go on inside of true believers. Things maybe that we wrestle with or tug against. For some of you, this word will confirm what's going on in your life and how the Lord wants to use you. For others, it may be simply a seed that's going to go down into your spirit and bring forth life in the days to come. Sackcloth on kings. Let's begin with 2 Kings chapter 6, 24 to 30. And it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, the capital of Israel, the northern Israel. And indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cab of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. People trying to eke out some food and fire. Then as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him saying, "Help my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor, from the wine press?" Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you?" And she answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give me your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, 'Give your son that we may eat him.' But she has hidden her son." Now it happened when the king heard the words of the woman that he tore his clothes. And as he passed by on the wall, the people looked, and there underneath, he had sackcloth on his body. Sackcloth on kings. A woman cried to the king, "Help me, O Lord." And he said, "What do I have wherewith to help you? If God doesn't help you, I have nothing. I have nothing out of the wine press, out of the grain floor." The king was so distraught at the condition of his people that this circumstance was entirely beyond him in a natural way. And as he walked on the wall, he tore his kingly robe. And the people looked, and beneath that robe was sackcloth on his flesh, sackcloth on his body. Sackcloth was a thick, rough, coarse cloth made either of goat's hair. That's why goats were primarily black. That's why you read in scripture the phrase "black as sackcloth of hair." Black goat's hair or camel's hair, camel-colored hair, a coat was made. It was rough. It spoke of penitence. It spoke of mourning. It spoke of intercession. It spoke of repentance. David clothed himself with sackcloth when the pestilence and the judgment of God came and swept through the land. David and the elders were clothed in sackcloth. Mordecai was clothed in sackcloth when the decree went out that the Jews, the Israel nation, should be destroyed. King Hezekiah put on sackcloth when he was facing a terminal disease. His life was to be taken. He cried and he prayed unto the Lord. He wore sackcloth. There are many instances in the Word of God of people that put on sackcloth as a sign of intercession, mourning, penitence, repentance, a desperate cry after God. John the Baptist wore a coat, a robe of camel's hair. John the Baptist was clothed in sackcloth. He was preaching a message of repentance, that the people would repent and prepare the way of the Lord. And he called for a fresh heart cleansing, that the people would come back to God in his time and place. And God answered by a great visitation. Sackcloth. Revelation 11:3. Scripture says, "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy." They will make proclamation. 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will be clothed in sackcloth. We don't know in entirety what that scripture means, Revelation 11:3, but one thing we do know, that the church makes its way through the earth in the proclamation of the gospel. It's the two witnesses, and the Bible shows the church clothed in sackcloth. Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. And whatever this scripture may mean in time to come, we're not sure. But one thing we do know, that it symbolizes the church going forth in the New Testament era in the power of the Spirit, clothed with sackcloth, mourning, intercession, calling to the lost people of earth to find the salvation of the Lord. That's what our forefathers taught us about this verse. The two witnesses, the church in sackcloth, making proclamation to a lost and dying world. One of our forefathers, Duncan McGregor, 1869, here's his preaching. When persecution comes and Christ's faithful witnesses have to prophesy clothed in sackcloth and perhaps to pass through a baptism of blood to the crown, they follow him. What a great interpretation of Revelation 11:3. At times the church has to make its way through bloody persecutions as it proclaims the gospel. Again, when persecution comes and Christ's faithful witnesses have to prophesy clothed in sackcloth, then perhaps to pass through a baptism of blood to the crown, they follow him. A church clothed in sackcloth. Sackcloth on kings. Romans 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. We have received abundance of grace. We have received the gift of righteousness. And the Bible says because of that, we reign in life because of one Jesus Christ. We rule and reign in this life. Because of Jesus Christ, we have been brought into an incredible life and lifestyle because of him. Peace in our homes, wisdom of God and prosperity, purity, moral purity, true holy character, power of God in our lives. We reign as kings in life. We sit, as the Bible says, every man under his own vine and under his own fig tree in the blessing of the Lord. And we who sit here tonight know how blessed we are of God. We wear royal robes, but there's something that we wear closer than that. Sackcloth of hair. Sackcloth of intercession and mourning and penitence for a lost world. Jesus was a king. If anybody ruled and reigned in life as he made his way through this world with all its difficulties and oppositions, it was Jesus Christ. He ruled, he reigned, he had authority in the midst of his enemies. He walked through life as a conqueror, as a king. He wore a seamless robe. Expensive cloth. It was of great value that at the cross the soldiers gambled over it. Who would get this prized possession? This was some kind of expensive cloak. But there's something Jesus wore closer to him than that seamless robe. And that was the garment of intercession, the sackcloth of intercession, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Sackcloth on kings. Jesus said of John Baptist, Matthew 11, 7 to 10, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way of Christ. John the Baptist, clothed in sackcloth. We live in two realms. We wear royal robes and sackcloth of hair. On one hand, we are so blessed, and on the other hand, we are so burdened, and we feel it, don't we? Mark chapter 10, 35 to 40. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. We want to reign as kings. That's what we're after. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, We are able. So Jesus said to them, You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. What baptism is this? Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, We are able. Not so quick now. He said, You will indeed drink the cup because you have a heart to follow me. And with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. A third baptism. I thought there were only two baptisms in Scripture, a baptism in water and a baptism in the Holy Spirit. What is this third baptism that God calls his people to, his true disciples and followers? First baptism, baptism of water, a baptism into water. New creation life, remission of sins. We come to Christ. The baptism of repentance comes upon us. Arise and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. What a glorious baptism as we come and confess Jesus Christ as Savior, and we go through the waters of baptism when we come up in a new life, forever separated from the past, from sin and darkness. Jesus said, He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. The first baptism, baptism in water. The second baptism, baptism in the Holy Spirit. John Baptist said, There's one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and fire. It's a baptism of power. It's a baptism of fire where we're set on fire of God. Tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. It's a baptism of power. Tarry, Jesus said, He's the baptizer. When you come to be water baptized, you yield yourself to a minister of the gospel. When you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have to yield yourself to Jesus Christ and get surrendered in his presence and say, Jesus, I need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire. I need power in my life. I need Holy Ghost power. On the day of Pentecost, a flame of fire rested on each of the believers. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and out of them began to flow a river of living water. They spoke with tongues. They prophesied. There was utterance on them, boldness that came by the Holy Spirit. That's the second baptism. The third baptism is something we need to yield ourselves to as well. Just like the first two baptisms, this is a third baptism in the life of the believer. Jesus said, Luke 12, 49 to 50, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till that baptism is accomplished. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished in me. Matthew 26, 38 to 42. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus was facing the cross, the salvation mission for the world, then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." A baptism for Christ, a cup. The cup for Christ was the chalice of death and of God's wrath against sin that he took from his Father's hand. And he drank it to fulfill his saving mission for this world. The baptism that he was baptized into, it's parallel to the cup. It's the same idea. That he took the suffering and travail for a lost world. He went through a baptism. He went through a baptism of suffering and travail and intercession for a lost world. Jesus invited his disciples to pray with him. He didn't say, "Come and pray for me." He said, "Come and pray with me." But at that point, they couldn't enter in. They were still way too self-conscious, world-conscious, sluggish, sleepy, too sleepy. But when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and those men were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, they altogether willingly immersed their lives into that baptism that Jesus foretold for them. They gave their lives to service and sacrifice and intercession and prayer and the demands and the rigors of the gospel, deprivation, whatever it would take for the salvation of the souls of men and women and to carry the burden of Christ in the earth. A baptism, not for themselves, but for others, that they might be saved and might be redeemed. It was said of John Hyde, Praying Hyde, a man outstanding as a missionary to India in the late 1800s, early 1900s, but much more legendary as a man of prayer who prayed countless millions, it would seem, people into the kingdom of God through his efforts and those who joined with him. It says he was permitted of God to have this privilege of drinking of the Master's cup and of being baptized with his baptism, the second baptism of fire, suffering with him that we may reign with him here and now, the life of true kings for the sake of others, sackcloth on kings. He was permitted of God to have this privilege of drinking of the Master's cup and of being baptized with Christ's baptism, the second baptism of fire, suffering with him, that we may reign with him here and now, the life of true kings for the sake of others. Philippians 3:10, Paul said, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." sacrificed life, a crucified life. Paul said that I may know him. That's the first baptism, a baptism into water, that you might know the Lord and come to new life in Christ. And the power of his resurrection, that's the second baptism, a baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire. And Paul said, and the fellowship of his sufferings, the fellowship of his sufferings. That's that third baptism, a baptism into the fellowship of his sufferings, where we bear the brokenness of a world, where we bear the burden of Christ in the earth, and we pray, and we yearn, and we call on God, and we proclaim the gospel, and we build the house of God, and we pour out our time, talent, and treasure for souls of earth to come to the presence and into the life of God. A baptism into the fellowship of his sufferings. We will take the demands of Christ's church in the earth. Colossians 1:24. Paul said, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. These are amazing words. Paul said, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. All these intercessions, these groaning, these birth pains I feel for you, pouring out my life for you to be established and for the gospel to go forth. He said, I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh, in this mortal body, what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. The privilege we have of entering into Christ's sufferings, carrying his burden, carrying his intercession, his love for this world and for people. 2 Corinthians 6:10, Paul says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. He said, there's something about us. We're rejoicing. We reign as kings in life. But he said, we're also sorrowful at the same time. Our hearts break for a world that does not know God. Our hearts long that Christ's kingdom be established. He said, as poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Making up the sufferings of Christ. You know, we can't shed blood for people. Only Jesus could do that. But we can shed tears and wash and heal people that don't know the Lord. We can't shed blood. Only Christ could do that. But we can shed tears of intercession and longing and burden and pour out our hearts for the kingdom of God. Praying Hyde once more. God wants those who are willing to bear the burden of the souls of these millions without God to go with Jesus into Gethsemane. He wants us to do this. It is a blessed experience to feel that in some measure we can enter into the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. It brings us into a precious nearness to the Son of God. And not only this, but it is God's appointed way of bringing the lost sheep back to the fold. Intercessors for life. Church builders for life. Let's have the worship ministry return. Close out with a couple of other scriptures. Galatians 4:19, the Apostle Paul said, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Whom I labor in birth again, birth pangs, travail of spirit, desperate longing, pleading the promises of God over people's lives. See, Paul had travailed once, and the people had been created. There'd been a creation, a new creation in Christ. But he said, now I need to travail again, that there might be a formation in Christ, that you might grow and develop into the fullness of the Lord. Colossians 1:28 to 29. Him we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, whole, complete in Christ Jesus, To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Paul had yielded himself to the Spirit of God in such a way that the Spirit was working in him mightily. The working of God was mighty to bring deliverance, to bring growth and strength to the people of God. And so tonight, sackcloth on kings. Don't you love it? We wear royal robes, but we wear something even closer. Sackcloth of hair, sackcloth of intercessions, as we walk with Christ in the world and bear the burden of the Holy Spirit everywhere we go every day. It's always there. That's what's at work in us. Sometimes we might wish for an easier way of life, an easier Christianity, something more casual, but really we don't. We want to carry the burden of Christ. We want to carry the sufferings of Christ. We want to be anointed with a second baptism of fire, baptized into the fellowship of his sufferings, be church builders for life, be kingdom advancers for life, be prayer warriors for life, worship warriors for life, intercessors for life. Baptism in water, a baptism in the Holy Spirit, a baptism into the fellowship of his sufferings. God often speaks in threes, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Children, young men, fathers. The blade, the ear, the full corn in the ear. God wants to take us on to his fullness. Tonight I'd like us to stand and let's yield ourselves to the Lord. Say, Lord, perhaps you're here and Spirit of the Lord has been dealing with your heart in recent days. Because it's a world filled with pleasure and recreation and fun and sport and just enjoy life. I mean, God blessed you. Just go and enjoy life. But somehow inside of you, there's this wrestle, and the Holy Spirit is here tonight to confirm that wrestling and saying he will not let you go. He wants you to carry the intercessions of a broken world and of families and of your own family and clan and carry some fasting prayers and move on for kingdom life. Hallelujah. What a privilege. Kings. Rule and reign in the midst of our enemies right now, but intercessors and prayer warriors, people clothed with sackcloth within upon our flesh and our bodies. There is no greater way to live. There is no higher way to live than to carry the intercessions and sufferings and burden of Christ in this world. There's no higher way to live. Well, you say, well, I don't work in the full-time ministry like you, Pastor. Well, David wasn't in the full-time ministry, and he clothed himself with sackcloth. He was a king. He ran the government. He was clothed with sackcloth beneath those royal robes. Mordecai wasn't a full-time pastor. It's not whether you're a pastor or not. Some pastors don't even carry sackcloth of hair next to their bodies with intercessions and prayers. This is for everybody. Mordecai, Hezekiah, it doesn't matter who you are. You can put on this sackcloth next to your body and say, I will carry the burden of the Lord in my life, and I'll carry it all my life. And the Lord will sustain me. Sometimes your body may feel weak. Sometimes you may feel tired. Sometimes you may be overburdened by the attack of the enemy. But you will say in your heart, God, you are my strength. And what I'm facing right now is a battle. But you will raise me up, and I will carry this for you. And I will serve you my entire life in this baptism, the fellowship of your sufferings. Well, let's lift our hearts to the Lord tonight and yield ourselves. Maybe some of you want to step out from where you are. walk down to the front and say, yes, I'm willing to be an intercessor for life. Lord, I know you're calling me to that. I want to be a church builder for life. I don't want to go my own way. I don't want to live a casual life. In and out, here a little, there a little. I want to carry the burden of the Lord. Altars are open. Let's offer ourselves to the Lord.